So this week we're looking at eternal impact. That's what I get to share on. And I couldn't help but think with regards to eternal impact. I started to think about kingdoms. And I thought, what an awesome weekend. I was thinking, what happened yesterday, Renita? There was a coronation that took place. And there's going to be a new face on your $20 bill. And probably not as pretty as the old face. In fact, certainly not as pretty as the old face, but there'll be a new face on our $20 bill. And I just felt God drop this in my heart about kingdoms. And like we know, if you know your history, the British Empire, probably in most of our recent memories, was the biggest empire that's been around. It was around for, 400 years. A lot of us are here, my country, all of us, we're as a result of an empire. And we have a man that sits at the head of that empire that is not what it used to be. But I kind of couldn't help but sit and think, Lord, like, this guy's at the head of a great empire still, essentially. And we can get caught up in that if you watch the coronation of all the fancy people with their fancy dresses and suits that got invited. And sometimes I get a bit jealous. I'm like, oh, geez, I wish I got invited to the coronation. And I felt God challenge me on that in terms of whose kingdom do you serve in? And a friend of mine texted me yesterday a little excerpt from one of the newspapers. And I don't know if you knew this. Renita probably knew this. But for hundreds of years, when there's a coronation, before they actually crown the king or the queen of United Kingdom, and they cordon him off in the abbey, and he's not able to, nobody's able to see him, and he's required. So Charles, yesterday there was a time where he had to take off all his robes, and he was hidden behind a screen, and he's to kneel before the altar, which signifies God, and what he has to say is he says. No man as mighty, no king as mighty as God. And I thought, here we go. Like, you've got probably the last of the big kingdoms, if you want to think of that in earthly terms, has to kneel before an altar and declare that no man, no king is as mighty as God. And I just thought, isn't that beautiful? He takes all his stuff off. And at the end of the day, he's a man and he has to bow the knee and declare who the King of Kings is, right? And I just was so encouraged in that man, like, I get to be part of that kingdom that will never pale, that kingdom that will never fade, that I get to serve a king who will never die, you know, who never loses his luster, you know, who doesn't get changed on coins. And so I want to encourage us in that tonight, church. And that's kind of my question to us is, whose kingdom anyways? You know, because we get caught up in the here and now. Like, it's quite nice. I like the royal family, and I know maybe step on some of your toes. I like that stuff. Like, I enjoy watch. I love the tradition and that kind of thing. But for the here and the now, we can get caught up in the here and the now. And God's saying, hey, it's okay to enjoy that stuff, but where are you looking? Because there's something far greater, far bigger that our eyes need to be open to as believers, right? So, whose kingdom? Whose kingdom anyways? There are two barriers, I think, to the ripple effect in our lives. And the first one is, I believe that often we are consumed by the temporary rather than focused on the eternal. I can say that in my life quite strongly, that I get caught up on the temporary and rather than focus on the eternal. And I believe that that's a huge barrier for us to being able to walk out and exercise the ripple effect that God has for us. Colossians 3 verses 1 to 2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Is that sobering? And I know some of you have heard that before. I've heard that before, but I feel like I need to be reminded continuously, set my mind on things above, because I can get caught up with the here and the now, right? And the devil wants that. He wants us to be caught up in the here and now so that he can curtail our kingdom effect, so that he can limit the ripple that he wants to, that God wants to create through us. Slide number 5, another barrier to the ripple effect is, I believe, a preconception with what the ripple should look like and its timing. I'm going to read Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16 to us. Have a read through this chapter. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. If this doesn't kind of spur you on, like excite you for what God's got for you, then then I don't know. But this, I got to read this to you because this is part of some of the best part of this chapter. He says, these all died in faith, speaking about the men and women of faith that have gone before us, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I think that's a barrier to my ripple effect, right? Is I want it now, and I know how I want it, and I want to be able to see where the ripples end. And I challenge us tonight. I've been thinking about this with regards to Abraham. Abraham was called a father of many nations. And as far as I know, he only had one legitimate heir when he died, right? Maybe he saw, I can't even remember now, did he see his grandchildren? But irrespective, he would have only seen so far. And yet God called him the father of many nations. And you and I are here today because of Abraham's obedience to God, right? God called him to leave his country and go to a place that he did not know, right? To create a ripple effect, which has had impact through millennia. And so I would say to us as a church, is I don't even think that Abraham saw the fullness of what God's promises for him were. And so I would say to us as a church, we can't get hung up on that for our own lives because it's not happening now, or it's not happening, and I don't think it's going to happen if I do this or do that. We have no idea. When we step out in faith, he promises things to us, and that's what Abraham did. Abraham stepped out in faith, and God blessed him, and God blessed the nations of the world through this man, and he didn't even know it. He was thinking, I think Abraham was all thinking in terms of his physical seed, right? And God wanted to bless him beyond his imagination through his spiritual seed. So I say to you tonight, beloved City Church, we serve the same God. Yeah. That same God wants to use me to have a ripple effect in my community and beyond. And just because I don't see it happening now, can I use Claudio as an example again? Because Claudio doesn't necessarily see the ripple effect of that child, the 12, 14-year-old that he prays with on a Friday night, he has no idea what the ripple effect of that decision in time and space will have on eternity. Doesn't that get you excited? Isn't that way more than anything else you can think of? It gets me excited. Man, I'm called to something so much more. It is bigger than me, you know? And the best part of it all is that it's not about you. It's about him. It's not about you being on a $20 bill. It's about him being glorified. It's awesome. It's so beautiful. They desired a better country. And can I tell you, I love Canada. I'm so grateful, as you can hear, I hope still maybe that I'm not a born Canadian. I'm so grateful for this nation. We have an incredible nation. I'm so glad to be an adopted Canadian. And as beautiful as it is here, I am a pilgrim passing through. We need to be a pilgrim people. We can never settle. We can never settle. We need to be nomads, and that needs to be something that sits in our hearts. Because I tell you what, I think God's got call on many of us here that's going to be outside of Nanaimo, potentially. He's going to take you somewhere else, and that's very unsettling and very uncomfortable. But if we start to change our mindsets that we're pilgrims, he has called us to be pilgrim people. You're not called to be a settler. And if we want to see kingdom impact, God's got call on us that's going to unsettle us. We've got to stay pilgrim people. I've heard people preach about before. I've heard fathers in the faith say, you know what, we used to do a garage sale every year so that we were ready to go. We never accumulated more than X, or because we felt convicted in our hearts that if God said, you need to go to the nations, you need to go to India or Burma or wherever it is, we're ready to go at the drop of a hat. And I'm encouraged by that. I'm challenged by that because, man, my garage is pretty full. Not seeing what they were called to did not deter them, all right? So first big barrier, I think, is that we get caught on the here and now. Next big barrier is thinking we know what the here and now should look like or what that ripple effect needs to look like. Let God blow that open for you. Good. Slide number 6. So living with focus on eternity. Jesus knew that this would be an issue for many. He teaches us a parable to help us understand why eternal investment and focus are so critical. Instead of living in the world of addition, folk, we can move into the kingdom of multiplication. Doesn't that excite you? Like, we've seen that within our midst at Beloved City Church in the last year, that God is multiplying us, right? We had seven baptisms tonight. Amazing. Look good. Thank you. Hey, we can work, we can move in the realm of multiplication on these issues if we start to implement things that he's calling us to. Okay, I've got to read this to you. It's a bit of a long scripture, but bear with me. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 19. Again, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another one talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who took 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that with the servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus gives us a blueprint for what kingdom living looks like in this parable, right? And it can kind of go over our heads. I think some of us have heard that story before. And the tendency in my life is to read something that's kind of a little bit more challenging to read and let it, he's not really talking about me, right? He's talking to us. He's talking to us. He's saying, I've given you things and you've got to be faithful with them. You've got to be stewards, right? He's giving us information. The kingdom of heaven will be like giving us in advance a blueprint for a life that creates a ripple effect that will impact eternity. So I have 3 points for us tonight on living with eternal focus. Jesus taught, and we see that in the scripture, that God owns everything. I think sometimes I live like I say, well, I've earned this. I've worked hard. I've saved for. I went to university. I work hard. I labor. I grind. But Matthew 25 verse 14 says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. Man, I'm so challenged by this. Like I feel God challenging me in my heart on this. Like even I shared this with the folk in Victoria this morning is, man, do you realize that every beat of your heart, we can say that sometimes, but do you realize that like every beat of your heart is held in his hand? Your heart starts beating at like 8 weeks, I think, if I remember embryology. But it's like at 8 weeks, your heart starts to beat, and he calls that into existence. He tells us, he says, I knew you while you were in your mother's womb. He calls you into existence. Your heart starts to beat, and then it beats for a time frame, right? And I was just so challenged on that. I was just like, Lord, like, well, you know, I can labor, I can work, I can make this happen, I can earn this money, I can do these things, I can spend that time. And I just felt him challenge me, like, Darren, you fool. Like, you can't even add a single beat of your heart to your life. We can't. Every breath we take, you know, it's all his. He owns everything. So we look at our lives. He owns everything. He's given you your life. He's given you your health. And then we can look even beyond that. He's given you your properties. He's given you your cars. He's given your family, your children. Everything is his. It's all been a free gift. Yes, and you have labored and you have been faithful, but only by his grace. because you could drive out of this parking lot tonight and be in a very different situation if his angels aren't around you, if he's not protecting you. For, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much that's outside of our control, and he holds me right there, allowing me to be able to do what I do, right? So, Lord, open my eyes to that. I'm not my own man. You are not your own man. You're not your own woman or your own teenager. You are in his hand. He owns everything. And if we start to see things from that point of view, man, that changes the way I start doing things. And I think that's what helps us live with eternal focus. I'm like, I don't get so hung up on my nice truck anymore, because as much as we've got to be good stewards and look after our things, it's not really mine. I've been lent it for a time frame, right? I start seeing things differently. It's called kingdom living, right? Romans 11, verses 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This mindset is far more important than most of us realize. God is passionate about us getting this. He has called us to be irrationally generous with what is his. The problem is it is hard for us to let go when we believe that we own everything that we have. How would your life change, beloved City Church, knowing that everything belongs to God? And I think we've got to allow ourselves to kind of continually be reminded of that. And that's the beautiful thing about church and family and preachers, is that we get to hear these things again, because I'm telling you, I shared this with Victoria as well. Please hear my heart. Like, in preparing and preaching this word, man, I feel God putting his fingers on so many areas of my own heart where I need to be submitting and living with kingdom impact in mind and no longer the kingdom of Darren Edmonds. So please hear my heart when I share this with you. I'm telling you, it's because I'm not walking in this in the fullness, and God's helping me walk in the fullness. And so I share this with you as a body, because we need to change the way we do things all the time. There are adjustments that he wants to do in our hearts and lives so that we can become the people of God that he wants us to be, so that we can have the ripple effect that he wants to have within our lives. And my fear is that if we don't do that, we might miss the opportunity to see that ripple effect. That when he saw you in your mum's womb at 8 weeks old, unreal. Most of the time, ladies don't even know they're pregnant at 8 weeks, and yet there's already a heartbeat. When he saw you in his womb, he had plans for you. I feel like he had a map on a wall saying, this is what I have for Darren. And I want to get to him one day, and I want him to say, you hit the mark, my boy. You hit the mark. Not, oh, yeah, if you just stepped out, if you just followed me with this ripple, look what this ripple effect would have been for you, my boy. I love you. I love you. His love for us is never in doubt. But there's bigness to the call on us that I think we are at risk of missing if we don't implement these things in our lives, if I don't implement this in my life. All right, so first point, living with eternal focus. Slide number 8, my second point is God has entrusted money, talents, time, and people to us. Matthew 24:14, if we look at that again, he says, God entrusted the talents to his servant. In that parable, the master entrusts his servants to, entrusts his talents to the service. Okay, you know what I'm saying. I'll stop and move on. This is a bit of a touchy subject, and I think in church maybe not, but I think it is sometimes, and I want to share on this. So, I hope I've touched on that enough, that it's not all about finances when we think about kingdom, right? He's interested in your time, and he gives us time, he gives us money, he gives us talents, and he gives us family, right? But I feel that there's such an important thing with regards to our finances. And so I really felt that I wanted to share a little bit on finances tonight and what it looks like for us to walk out with the view of having kingdom impact within our finances. So I'm speaking to myself again, all right? And if you're getting your toes stepped on, maybe it's the Holy Spirit. I trust it's the Holy Spirit and not the way I'm delivering. Leviticus, I want to talk on the tithe just briefly, okay? With us having the view of being kingdom impactors. The tithe is a declaration of God's ownership. God owns everything, right? And God requires a tenth back from us, I believe. It says that in Leviticus 27, verse 30, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. Malachi 3, verses 10 to 12, he says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Need, hey? Not greed. Until there is no more need. God says to his people, test me on this. He says to Israel, test me on bringing your tithe to the house. I challenge us tonight, folk, test God on bringing your tithe into the house. This is not just an Old Testament principle. It's never addressed or rebuked or spoken against in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus says to the Pharisees, I've actually got it further down here. Sorry, there we go. Matthew 23, verses 23. Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. He says, he speaks to them about their tithing, never saying that the tithe is an issue. He rebukes them on their neglect of other issues of Scripture, their heart condition, because they were tithing. He doesn't say, stop tithing. He says, it's good that you tithe. He says, have a look at that, Matthew 23, 23. And it's in Luke as well. I can find that scripture for you if you want. But I got it for us from Matthew 23, 23. He says, do not neglect. He says, bring your tithe to them. He says, you tithe, and that's a good thing. He says, but you are neglecting other areas. That's what he's calling them into. We are called to tithe. And can I tell you, it is a beautiful thing. I can tell you in my life that I see God's faithfulness, how he looks after me. And I tell you what, we don't give so that we receive, because half the time I don't even know what I've received. Our dishwasher is 10 years old. Can I say that? My car doesn't break down very often, right? And when your car breaks down, I don't think it's God's judgment on you. But hear what I'm saying, right? It's like, God looks after us, and we don't even see half of it. You know how many times I've been tired and woken up at the wheel, and I'm like, you know what I'm saying is, his goodness on my life, how he provides for me, is far beyond the dollars in my check account, right? Can I challenge you on that? His faithfulness, when you are faithful with your tithe, test the Lord on your tithe. He says that in Malachi. That's not me. He's saying that. He says, in Israel, they were laboring hard. They were planting crops. They were doing their utmost, and yet there was a pestilence on their crops. The locusts came. There were all these things that were outside of their control. And God says to them, it's because you are not bringing your first fruits into the house. And so I feel so challenged for us on that, because if we don't do that, we're robbing ourselves of God's blessing, right? And don't think dollars when you think God's blessing. On the fruits for your children, on your workplace, on your influence, on your talents. Like, God's blessing is just way bigger than a check at the end of the month, right? Every time we get paid, we have the opportunity to remind ourselves who the owner and provider really is. The tithe is the bridge to freedom, and some desperately need to be set free from burdensome ideas that we have, that it's ours. That idea brings weight and bondage. If the tithe makes you feel uncomfortable, can I share more with you to make you feel even more uncomfortable? Is that the tithe, I believe in Scripture, the tithe is the basic minimum. That's what's required. We see other forms of giving within Scripture, and I challenge us. When we speak irrational generosity, I don't think bringing your 10% is irrational generosity. I think that's the plumb line. And then God says, test me. We get to bring special offerings, right? When we get to do special offerings, we're going to speak into that, right? Like, God is going to do big things amongst us, and he's going to use our finances to bring that through. And so when we take up special offerings, please don't take that from your tithe. Rather, don't give. Keep your tithe for your tithe, right? God wants us to be a generous people. So you bring in your special offering above and beyond your tithe, right? And then there's almsgiving. We give to the poor. That's what he models for us in Scripture. That's above and beyond your tithe. Hey, and you know what? There's one more. There's apostolic giving, right? There are apostolic men and women that we relate to that local churches give into to facilitate their ministries. There's such a wonderful guy that I know, a South African friend. He's mid to late 60s, played rugby for years, so his back is trashed. He travels so badly. He lives in South Africa, and he does these 22-hour flights to come and be an apostolic gift to to Vancouver Island and Western BC. His name's Kenny LaRue, and I hope you guys meet him one day. But what a blessing, right? And he comes at no expense, right? These churches we see in the New Testament, they gave to Paul not because they had to, because they were kingdom-minded, right? They saw the gift that this man was. They saw the ripple effect that he was having in the world and said, we feel compelled by the Spirit to give into this, right? Can I challenge on us? That's on that. There's more than just the tithe. And if it's the first time you're hearing that kind of stuff and the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart, that's good. That's good. We've got time to put these things right. I'm telling you, church, test God. He is a generous God. God is a generous God. If you open-handed, we are just conduits. He pours out through us, right? I know I've highlighted finances specifically, but I thought it's important for us as the people of God in this context when we're looking at being kingdom impactors, looking at eternal influence. There's so much more than our finances, though. There's so much more than our finances. I'm going to touch on that just briefly in a little bit. Slide 9. The third part about eternal impact, I believe, is so everything is God's, the first point. The second point is that he's entrusted us with so much. The third part, and this is probably the less enjoyable thing to hear, but is that he's going to call us to account for what he's entrusted us with. And Matthew 25:19 says, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Romans 14:10-12, he says, this is Paul writing to the church in Rome. He's not writing to unbelievers. He says, remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. This is sobering. We know there's a great white throne judgment. That's not what we're talking about here. Like if you've given your heart to Jesus, we know that you're going to be with him forever, right? That's not what we're talking about. This judgment is a judgment we see Paul speaking about to Christians within Rome. And he's saying, guys are going to give an account for the things that you're entrusted with. And that word in the Greek is actually bema, the word for judgment seats, right? And actually what they meant by that seat, I know like judgment seat, you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to get my head lopped off or something like that. What they meant by that when he said bema is that it was actually a seat that a highly ranked official would sit in to kind of oversee games. So when they were, whatever they did, wrestled or ran or whatever, at the end of that, they would come and stand before the bema seat and the person sitting in the bema seat would give them their rewards. And so that's what Paul's saying to the Romans. And they understood that. They understood that context because they would have been at some of those games and seen some of those competitions. And so they understood that. And that's what God's saying through Paul to his people. He says, he's going to come back and he's going to want an account. That master came back and he said, what did you do with your 5 talents? What did you do with your 4 talents? What are 2 talents? What did you do with your 1 talent? And we can't find ourselves sleeping when that happens, right? I'd be super disappointed. Do you know what that's like when you've labored, when you've played sport or something like that, and you don't get the reward, right? I'd be disappointed. Revelation 22:12, he says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have. How would your life change, beloved City Church, knowing that you will give an account to God for what you do with what he's given you? When I realize that everything I have belongs to God and that I will give an account for what I have done with what I have been given, it becomes extremely obvious that God is passionate that we are faithful stewards of what he has entrusted us. Slide 11. To become a faithful steward or an impactor for eternity is that I believe we have to see ourselves as kingdom investors rather than earthly spenders. The definition of this, of spend, is to use or to pay out. Kind of connotation there is with trading. The definition of invest is to devote, expecting a higher return. I'm so challenged on that. I'm like, Lord, what am I spending all the things you've given me on? And how much of it am I actually investing? Every second of every day, slide 12, we have a choice to spend what we have or invest what has been given to us. And I said this before, but this extends far beyond finances. In fact, I think that our minds often will go to finances first, but can I say, I think your time's probably your most valuable resource that he's given you. We spoke about the onset of your heartbeat, and he knows how many years you got in between. And so your time is probably your most valuable resource, right? How are you investing your time, or are you spending your time? Can I give you some examples, I think, of spending versus investing? TV, we pick on Netflix, we're probably going to get sued one day, but TV, and don't hear what I'm not saying, like sometimes you need to relax and watch a show, right, and enjoy it, like come on, we not, like you don't have to be, praying and in Bible and all that, sometimes you just need to, you don't have to do that 24/7, we've got to relax, we've got to be thinking, but I think those of us that spend maybe too much time in front of Netflix know what I'm talking about. Are we spending our time, or are we investing our time? Who are the people you're spending time with regularly? Can I challenge you? Like city groups, if you're missing city groups and watching Netflix, I think you're spending your time instead of investing your time, because it is such an incredible time for us together as community when we're in city groups together. So we get up and we tell you, hey guys, get involved in a city group. It's not because we get extra bonus points from I don't know who about getting how many people in. It's because we know that's where you need to be. That's where the Bible says we need to be. If we are not in city, if we're not in community together, man, Friday night was so amazing. Didn't you have an awesome time? I got to try Fijian dishes. We got some English sausage rolls. I didn't know it was English. I thought it was actually our thing, but you know, Renita just corrected me. So it was awesome, guys. We're called to be together in community, right? It's amazing. And things do come up. I'm not trying to be a hard taskmaster. And I said this to the church in Victoria this morning as well. I'm not here to tell you what to do. Like that's not our role. I think our role is to preach the word and direct you to what God is saying and let the Holy Spirit convict you. Because I don't have this all together. I got a bad attitude sometimes. Sometimes I feel tired, and ask Marie, not sometimes, most times, I got a bad attitude. I'm tired when I get up in the morning, right? So I'm convicted of these things. I let the Holy Spirit massage my heart, change who I am. Right, so I hope you're not. I hope not. If you're getting offended, you know what to do, right? We've just done that whole series. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. That's the beauty of it. Chris doesn't have the 10 steps to effective Christianity that's going to revolutionize your life and make you joyful every day. Nobody does, right? You've got to figure that out with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is nudging, and no one can tell you exactly this is what you need to do with your life, you've got to hear from the Holy Spirit. That's the beauty of being a Christian, a believer. When you get saved, you get baptized, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, then God tells you what you need to do. So I feel convicted. There are Netflix shows that I've sat watching with Marie, and we've looked at each other and said, we can't watch this. This is not good for us, right? And that's not because I asked Chris, and sometimes I can ask Chris, like I want to be accountable to Chris. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But the Holy Spirit convicts me. What am I spending my time on? What am I spending my finances on? What am I spending my talents on? And what am I investing in? And I tell you what, I know that this place, this community of believers, and the one in Victoria that God's called me to, that's where I'm called to invest my time, my talents, my money, and my family, right? Yes. You guys are very quiet. You may be getting tired. I'll hurry up here. When we become spiritual investors, it changes us and grows heaven. Can I challenge us also in what we get involved in? Can I challenge you just to think about what you're involved in? Like I've been challenged on that too. It's like I get involved in committees and I'm like, what the heck am I doing on this committee? This is time spent. This is not time invested, right? But I feel that my time spent, can I use my life as an example, on the Christian school board, on Nanaimo Christian School, I know I'm investing my time there. And I don't get anything for it. There's no monetary, there's no pat on the back, and that's great, because otherwise it would become about me, you know? And so can I challenge you on that, folk? When you're being pulled, because the world tries to pull us and distract us into different things, and some of those things are good, but if that's not where the kingdom's being advanced, if that's not where you're going to be allowed to invest, yo, we got to think about being involved, right? Yeah. I know that's challenging, but man, like I want to encourage us tonight. Man, what we do here together matters as believers. City groups, prayer meetings, culture night, heritage nights, services on a Sunday. get plugged into the local community, man. This is where the ripple effect is at. And I'm never more convinced of that than now. Slide 13. So I'd ask us, whose kingdom are you building or advancing? One that will fade like the flowers of the field, or one that will last forever? Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I just want to encourage us, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you, because as I was preparing this, I was like, man, I know the Holy Spirit's pointing things out in my life as I'm doing this, and I just encourage you, can I encourage you as well that I think that there's such beauty in accountability within the church, right? Look for an older brother, older sister, father figure, somebody that you can walk with and bounce things off of. And there's beauty in that. Be accountable to somebody, right? So accountability is so good. But go ask God before you ask anybody else. Lord, show me where you want me to be investing my time, my finances, my family, my talents. And some of us are sitting on talents. Can I encourage you in that too? Some of you have talents that God wants to use in his kingdom, right? Don't sit on your talents. Don't sit on your talents. And can I encourage us to talk to our families about this too? Mums and dads, can we put this into our kids from the ages of 2 and up, that we are kingdom people? Mom and dad, everybody else is doing this. Yeah, but you know what? I don't want to tell you what this is because it might offend some of you, but there's something that I really can't handle in the calendar year in North America, and I struggled with it so much. I just don't feel it's for my family, right? I don't feel we have to partake of it. I'm going to stay as vague as that. And I remember my kids saying, "Dad, we really want to. And you know what I said to them? I said, "Guys, I said, we are not. We are pilgrims. We live here, but we are passing through. There are things that we do not partake in, as great as it looks, but we do not partake in it because we are different, right? We stand out. Daniel stood out in Babylon, one of the most pagan cities that's probably ever existed. And Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he stood out, right? So if Daniel can do it in Babylon, by Jove, I can do it in Nanaimo, British Columbia, right? And I want to encourage us in that, right? Because it's hard to toe that line sometimes. But we got to think like kingdom builders, right? Not for the now. And we got to put that in our kids. Because if we put it in them when they're that age, right, they will be unstoppable for the kingdom. I just feel so, yeah, anyway. Can you talk about that at home? Talk about it this week with each other, husbands and wives. I said to Marie, I feel so convicted. There's something in our finances. I said, babe, are we just spending or are we investing? Like, is this something we need to get rid of? Because it's just a spend. It's not an invest, you know? So I share that with you. With our kids' time and sports. We can get so busy with sports in our calendar that we don't get to invest in people's lives. What about my talents? Holy mackerel, I've become the best taxi driver. That talent has really flourished in the last few years. But you hear what I'm saying? It's like those things are good, but they can be distractions. Are they spent or are they invested? Talk about those things as families, because eternity matters. We can live with eternal perspective. We can defeat small thinking and choose to live with irrational generosity so that we can live out our faithing for an eternal impact. This is a God-sized ripple effect, and I believe that the fruit of this is not only for eternity. Can I encourage you in that too? I think sometimes as Christians we think, just holding out for Jesus to come back, just holding out. I don't see God like that. We have the fullness of life starting right now. When you give your heart to Jesus, like Dan said, there are troubles coming your way, but you know what? There's fullness of life walking out with Jesus through those troubles that nothing can compare to. There is such fruit in that. Like there's fruit right now that you will never taste outside of his kingdom and outside of kingdom impact. The dreams that you have in your heart, God has got such an incredible sense of humor, because the things that I dream about, my ripple effect, the things that I believe he's promised me have never come the way I've thought. I've stepped out in faith in areas, and I'm telling you, a year, 6 months, I can tell you this church and this community is part of that for us. I had no idea. I felt God calling us out of where we were. Leave the land that you're in, and I'm taking you into a new land. And so we stepped out, and I can tell you, in the last year, I have rivers in dry places, and that's just on me. God has established rivers in dry places. We have fullness of life, and it's not easy. I can tell you what, there are a lot of battles that we fight, right? But I got a fullness. I got a fullness for life because I'm walking it out with my Savior, because I have kingdom in mind, because I am pioneering into a kingdom that's never going to fade, right? We will stop at nothing. We will hold nothing back. We will choose to live with irrational generosity and overcome small thinking. How could there be any other response for the people of God? Matthew 25, 21, he says, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And I think that has implication for us right now in our lives. If we are faithful with little, he gives us more. I have seen that in my life. I can testify to that. As I step out, as I'm faithful in the little, he gives me more. And I can tell you, when we get to heaven one day, it's going to be one big party. And when I'm standing with all of you there, I want him to say in front of everybody, the heroes of old that have gone before us, those Hebrews 11 folk, I want Moses and all those guys and girls and standing around, he's going to say, I trust God. He's going to say to me, "Darren, well done, good and faithful servant." And that is far greater than my face being on a $20 bill. Yeah. Hey, thank you, church. So I hope that encourages you. And if you're mad with me, come and speak with me afterwards. I feel so convicted on so many of those things in my own life. So please hear my heart. I don't preach it to you like I got it all together. Ask my wife and my mom and my dad. They'll tell you I don't have it all together. But I'd like to just pray over us. Is that good, Chris? And